First of all, I would like to thank you, the provincial government of Gansu, very much indeed for our splendid, warm-hearted welcome yesterday, and for inviting us members of Saku and members of the family of George Hogg, whose memory and legacy is being celebrated here today, and indeed throughout this year in various ways, both here in China and in the UK. I'm honored and privileged to share some of my uncle's story. George Hogg's middle name, Aylwin, which I have the honor to share, is an ancient name meaning wise friend or noble friend. It seems that George Aylwin Hogg certainly lived up to the meaning of that middle name. I believe there's an old Chinese saying, give a man a name, and he becomes that name. Very true in this case. 80 years ago, Ruy Ali penned an epitaph to George. Through his being and working, many blades of grass will grow where none grew before. I heard this epitaph quoted several times in 1988 during the high-profile memorial meetings in Beijing, Lanzhou, and Shandan held in honor of Ruy Ali. It seemed to me then that not only were we remembering Ruy Ali, but in no small way, we were also remembering my uncle George Hogg. Later the same year, I returned to Gansu to act the part of my uncle in a six-part television series. I was so deeply involved in that project and moved by my uncle's story that I began to write his biography, the title of which refers to that epitaph, Blades of Grass. The book was finally published in the UK some 8 years ago, and has now been translated into Chinese by Dr. Li Linxi and published just last month in Beijing by the prestigious Renmin Publishing House. This was to coincide with the multiple anniversary celebrations this year. So at last, the Chinese-speaking people can get to know more about my uncle, the man behind the legend, where he came from, his background, and what moulded him into such a very special person. George Hogg arrived in Shanghai in February 1938 at the age of only 23, and soon found a job as a journalist for United Press International in Hong Kong. He was then able to travel widely investigating the war situation. Sponsored by Agnes Smedley, he travelled, for instance, to Yan'an, where he met people such as Zhou Enlai and the 8th Route Army generals Nie Rongzhen and Qiu De. He was the first journalist to visit the headquarters of the newly set up Chinese Industrial Cooperatives, the CIC, in Hong Kong for a story where he interviewed Ruy Ali. He was impressed by this dynamic New Zealander and intrigued by this cooperative idea. The idea was to create masses of small industry in the hinterland, as the major industrial regions on the coast had been totally wiped out. When the Japanese finally took Hong Kong, many foreign journalists were expelled, and George was one of them. However, he secretly returned to China via Japan, Korea, and Manchuria into Beijing, from where he was smuggled out into the surrounding countryside held by General Nie Rongzhen's guerrilla forces. For many months, George travelled widely with those guerrillas, during which time Nie Rongzhen and Qiu De urged him to write clearly and truthfully, to tell the rest of the world what was really going on in China, the resistance to Japanese wanton aggression. Then in October 1939, he joined up with the CIC in Baoji, their most dynamic centre, where he became their public relations man with the title Ocean Secretary. This entailed lots more travelling, gathering good, colourful stories for publication in the West to raise awareness and financial support for the CIC. In time, he and Rui Ali developed an idea for the technical training of the younger generation who would eventually become the leaders. Several schools were started, some failed, but George became headmaster of their school set up in Xuanshipu, not far from Baoji. Through his passionate guidance, the school flourished, developing its own unique dynamic identity. The school occupied a strategically strong position, overlooking junctions of main routes, south, east and west. And with the Japanese forcing their way towards Xi'an, the Kuomintang wished to take over the school's hillside position. So it was time to move. With the help of Joseph Needham, later co-founder of SAKU, a possible location was found out along the Silk Road in the ancient oasis town of Shandan, out of harm's way. What followed became legend. The school, with its 60 pupils and 20 tons of essential machinery, was to be moved with 1,000 kilometres over two high mountain passes during what was to be the most severe winter in living memory. The first half of the trek was on foot with horse-drawn carts and wheelbarrows, but for the final part of the journey they managed to borrow five old motorised trucks. The school was to be set up in Shandan's old temples where the local warlord Ma Bufang had recently been stabling his horses. George worked relentlessly over the next months, achieving monumental results. And by the summer of 1945, the school was really taking shape. But during a basketball match between pupils and staff, George injured his foot, and through the broken skin, he contracted tetanus. Because of those horses, the surrounding ground was infested with the tetanus bacterium. Nobody, unfortunately, had thought to include tetanus serum in their medical supplies. George had survived various serious illnesses while in China: paratyphoid after his evacuation from Hankou, and then typhus soon after leaving Beijing, following his return from Japan. Also anthrax. Malaria had become a regular visitor. His strong constitution had always somehow pulled him through. Surely he would pull through this time also. While preparing for moving the school and then during the little long march, total responsibility was laid upon George's shoulders. Rui Ali was for the most part in Chongqing, fighting for the survival of the CIC. Then during the months of getting the school up and running in Shandan, Rui was again in Chongqing, battling with crisis after crisis. George was exhausted and run down. Fresh, nutritious food was not ready available. Soon after Rui's return, and just hours before serum arrived from afar, George tragically died on July the 22nd, surrounded by his loyal, admiring students and his four beloved adopted sons. He was only 30 years old. That was just 80 years ago. In that short life, George Aylwin Hogg had managed to achieve so much of great importance to the future of China. His perseverance and dedication brought him close to the hearts of the ordinary Chinese people. So what can we learn from this story, from this extraordinary man? To love and respect one's fellow human beings, regardless of race, belief, or cultural difference, to strive selflessly with compassion for a common positive humanitarian goal, one can achieve truly amazing things, even in a young life so tragically cut short, and build lasting bridges of friendship between East and West, particularly between Great Britain and China.